Blog Talk Radio.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year's. This is Dr. Shirley. It is February 2nd, 2014. And we're going to go into some wonderful music, and it's music that you've all heard on the other radio stations, but the Lord put in my heart that this selection of music is going to aim at the heart of people that are sitting on the wall still are, you know, struggling to reach out to the Lord and not trusting in the relationship that they already have in him, and maybe questioning themselves and not sure if they are really doing the will of God. This show is for people that you know, that need some encouragement, okay, in 2014, because 2014 is going to be a good year for many people, and God is going to be releasing some gifts that are going to bring you to a new place in him, a new place in the glory. But I want to start off by offering up communion. We usually wait to the end of the broadcast, but this is going to be a three-hour broadcast. We're combining all of our pre-broadcasts that we have done over the month's time. You're going to get a smorgasbord. But I just want to just lift up communion and just ask the Lord to bless you as we enter into 2014 under the blood of Jesus and what he did on Calvary for us 2,000 years ago. Did you know it's still going on? The life, death, and resurrection is always going on. And it's all about entering into the new thing that God has, entering into his life, okay, and saying yes to him in communion, all right? I had a really powerful revelation this morning at church when I was listening up everybody after Mass and my prayers, and my prayers to the body of Christ. And one of the things that he showed me, you know, he showed me the cell, the human cell, and I'm studying about that right now in my studies, the human cell and how it has these little, hair-like emanations coming from it called flagella. Flagella, you know, causes the cell to swim through the cellular liquid, all right, the cytosol, the extracellular fluid to another cell, all right. And it's these flagella that join together, and sometimes they exchange genetic information, sometimes they exchange other things too. And sometimes a virus can get to a cell and alter the whole thing. And so what happens is that the cells have the ability to replicate the DNA of another cell, especially if it's like that same cell, in a healthy cell division. They exchange that genetic material as they invite them into the cell membrane. Well, the Lord is saying that in communion, that's how it is. You know, his body comes, you know, he comes to us in the body and blood of Jesus through the accidents of wine and bread, okay? And what happens is that something supernatural happened on a spiritual level that as we acknowledge Jesus in the in communion, in Holy Communion, all right, he comes to us like a cell engulfed in another cell. He engulfs us in his presence. He engulfs us in his body, in his being. That's represented in the communion, in the body and blood of Jesus. Okay, it looks like bread and wine to our own eyes, but in reality, it is his body and blood. Okay, and the beauty of that is that he gives us his DNA, and we become more like him, all right? So that's why, you know, the Lord was showing this to me. I couldn't believe what I was saying. He said, "Shirley, dear, I want you to open this up, open the show up with communion, you know, because I really want to come to my people in a very special way in 2014 through communion." So, Father, we just thank you, Jesus, for this most powerful word, this most loving word, this most holy word, yourself. You are the word. You are the word made flesh, dwelling amongst us in communion, in holy communion. And so we thank you, Lord. So we offer up, Lord, your body and your blood. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would come to your people in a very special way as they partake of this communion too. And we ask, Jesus, that they would never be the same again. We thank you, Jesus, that on the night, all right, that you were betrayed by the hand of Judas, you took the bread and you broke it and you gave it to your disciples and you said, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body which will be broken for you." Okay? And whenever you do this, you would do this in my memory, all right? And then he took the wine of the Sabbath and of the Passover Seder, and he said, he lifted it up and gave thanks, and he said, "Take this and drink, for this is the cup of my blood, which will be shed for the sins of mankind. Whenever you drink my blood and you drink unto deliverance of salvation and healing, and you drink into new life, everlasting life. When you do this in my memory." Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for your covenant that you made with man through your body and blood, through your body and your blood. Thank you, Jesus. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in your people's lives, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, a new day, our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us in body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil, deliver them from evil, deliver the whole world from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Well, enjoy the rest of the show, and I hope you will be blessed beyond anything you could ever hope or imagine. I love you. Bye-bye.
2 a.m. and she calls me cause I'm still awake. Can you help me unravel my latest mistake? I don't love him. Winter just wasn't my season. Yeah, we walk through the door so accusing their eyes like they have any right at all to criticize. It was Chris, you're all here for the very same reason. Cause you can't jump the track, we're like cars on a cable, and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button, girl. Cradle your head in your hands and breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe. May he turn 21 on the base of Forest List just today.
the wave, writing a song. If I get it all down on paper, it's no longer inside of me, threatening the life it belongs to. And I feel like I'm naked in front of the crowd, 'cause these words are my diary, screaming out loud. And I know that you'll use them however you want to, but you can't jump the track. We're like cars on a cable, and a life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button now. It's saying it if you understand. And breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe.
Fill me up and then I fall apart, 'cause I'm only human. just like them old stars. I see that you've come so far to be right where you are. How old is your soul? Well, I won't give up on us, even if the sky gets rough. Giving you all my love, still looking up. And when you're needing your space to do some navigating, I'll be here patiently waiting to see what you find. 'Cause even the stars, do a lot to teach us how to use the tools and gifts we got. Yeah, we got a lot to say. And in the end, you're still my friend. At least we didn't intend for us to work. We didn't break, we didn't burn. We had to learn how to bend without the world caving in. I had to learn what I got and what I'm not.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed another, a tie.
Oh, yeah, hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that, and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff, so I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie, here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. Say I'll be the one if you want me to. Anywhere I would have followed you. Nothing else.
In your holy word, that whatever we ask the Father in your name would be granted to us. whenever we stand in prayer and ask anything in your name, we should believe that we have it already, and it would be ours. Jesus, stretch forth your hand from your holy cross. Touch and heal your people, Lord Jesus. We know that it is by your stripes that we are healed. Let your precious blood flow from Calvary to all people. Heal the broken hearts, Lord. Heal the broken spirits. Heal broken bodies. Lord, you said in your holy gospel that signs and wonders would follow your word, follow those who believe. We stand before you today, Lord, in simple faith, believing your word. And we know you are alive, and you are risen from the dead, and you are seated beside your Father in heaven, and you hear every prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus, forever and ever. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to send miracles. Let the power and the fire of the resurrection of Jesus, Father, burn in our hearts. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. And Father, heal the broken body of your Son Jesus all over the world. Make us one, Lord. Amen. But I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, open your heart and love. I have neither silver nor gold, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, be healed and filled with love. Be healed and filled with peace. Be healed and filled with holiness. Be healed and filled with wholeness. Be healed and filled.
Jesus.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is SEEK, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, good day, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff, General Manager of WSCIRO, SEEK, Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, and producer, actually co-producer of Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog Talk Radio. Well, Happy New Year, and we are on Sunday, January 5th, and I believe we're in the 12th day of Christmas, which in the church's tradition, this is little Christmas, but it's actually big Christmas where the Magi came. We meditate on that part of Scripture where the Magi actually came from the east to acknowledge the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we at church had sang more Christmas carols and just getting into that meditation of just on the birth of Jesus and what that means to us today. And so in this show we're going to talk more about the new year, the prophetic word for 2014. We're going to review the 2013 prophetic word from last year regarding divine retribution and how that began to unfold. We'll summarize that, and because I really truly believe, and others that listen to this that are prophetic truly believe that, you know, in given the giving of a prophetic word, We wanted, you know, we're also called to teach it so people can catch it through the Holy Spirit, you know, can catch the meaning of the word and how it applies to their life and how they can, you know, make it their own. And maybe it'll help bring a person closer to that area, you know, in their walk with the Lord where they want to explore this gift called, you know, the gift of prophecy. There are actually a few gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been written and taught in Corinthians and of the New Testament. And so there are about, what, 9 gifts and 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Is that correct?
12 fruits.
12. Okay, 12 fruits and 7 gifts. So the gifts, you know, that we seem to flow in from time to time, that we exercise in a greater way by virtue of our baptism, is the gift of of prophecy, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, and discernment of spirit, distinguishing of spirit, fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and faith. And faith, and then there's tongues, interpretation of tongues, and
those are the charisms.
They're actually the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit in operation. But they mean nothing if we don't have well developed character under the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, which is what.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are many gifts. The Holy Spirit infuses into our soul. Mm-hmm. Fear of the Lord.
Yep.
Piety.
Mm-hmm.
Counsel. Knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Love. Oh, that's.
Yeah, that's a major
love,
one.
Love is
so. And patience. A lot of people don't want to even talk
that's
about patience,
fruit,
but that is a fruit. That we just talked. That's what you were just saying. The fruits. A lot of people get gifts and fruits mixed up. What I just talked about was more the gift, the action of the Holy Spirit working in our spirit, man.
Right.
But the gifts are the fruits. Fruits are actions, but the gift is what is like the magnifying glass of the Holy Spirit. It's the world observant the Holy Spirit working through us, you know, and you know, there, you know, there's a difference that makes a difference in us. But then, you know, and also the Christian's response to the flow of the Holy Spirit, they, you know, but they actually, you can't have fruits and gifts with, you know, separately. They act together.
In a way, you can say the manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit is what's in our character, what's inborn in us, what it produces in our character to perfect us in the image of Christ.
What should be remaining after the utilization of the gifts.
Exactly.
Because each time we use the gifts, we should be changed on the inner life.
Mm-hmm.
Leave some remnant of the Holy Spirit.
Leave some mark. If it's true work of the Holy Spirit, that's what will happen.
Going from being a very bitter, unforgiving person to being a forgiving person and a patient person.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it usually might not happen overnight, but it's supposed to be observable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, when you see a person who's troubled, their face looks darker.
So through discernment, you say that they have maybe a spirit of oppression or depression.
But usually it's indicative of inner life disturbances.
One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy.
Is joy, yes. Joy.
Joy serving God.
That's right. And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
My spirit rejoices in the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
Mm-hmm. So
just the action of being released by God to get married to this lady.
Yeah.
My wife, Shirley.
I'm going to finish introducing. So, Jeff, we got some wonderful things here. We opened up a whole can of worms, folks, and I just want to just introduce the guests here.
I remain nameless.
Yeah. Well, no. My friend Andrea, who she was on the last broadcast, we're actually in her living room, okay, in Tiverton, Rhode Island, and we had a very exciting conversation in November, and it was so exciting that she said, let's do this again. We stayed over her house last night, we prayed, you know, and it just seems like God just does something with this, and, you know, we're just following Him, we just want to do His will, right? I have my husband here to my left, and he's full of fire, vim and vigor right now, ready to go. And we were just talking, we were introducing the topic of what we're going to talk about. We're going to go into the prophetic word. But, you know, if any of you stumble into this broadcast, we wanted you to get a flavor and a taste of how this prophetic word is going to act, you know, in the average believer who takes it for themselves. And it has a lot to do with the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit that we just talked about and things like that. So, and then we are going to go into what others are saying in the response to another kind of gift that we haven't even considered. We spoke about it in the previous broadcast as well with my son John Pierre, who had that dream of a translation up into some funnels, and he saw groups of people. So in this next topic, there's like a lot of research going up regarding the spirit, you know, the spirituality of man. Many people, it seems, in this day and age have outer body experiences, either in a hospital or in their sleep. But they've come back, you know, with a message, and God has, you know, in a greater belief in the Lord. So we're gonna delve into that, and that documentary is about an hour long. But we're setting you up because this is what, you know, 2014 is a time where we're gonna come into that place of inner peace that the Lord wants to give, but It's at a cost, and you'll understand this as we release the prophetic word. And we're going to get some feedback from my friend Andrea, who is the godmother of our son Joshua, and my dearly beloved husband Jeffrey Canniff. And then we're going to also talk more about, we're going to introduce a topic from there called the divine will. The Lord was put into my heart that we really need to explore that and what the church teaches on that. And also mystics that have actually had revelation on this. And in this revelation, there was lots of literature, there has been a lot of revelatory knowledge written in the form of a book. There's many saints that go before us that even a lot of the people, in the body of Christ that are not necessarily Roman Catholic, maybe once were and decided that, they've been led to worship the Lord in other denominations, that there's not enough research and exploration into the lives of the mystics that have gone before us, because if they have, then they could discern in a greater way the move of the Holy Spirit now in this day and age, and also compare that to the moves of the Holy Spirit in the mystics that have gone before us into glory 20 centuries ago and up until now. And the surprising thing about it, you're going to see that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So what we're going to be doing now, from 2014 on out, is that every time we broadcast, we're going to bring to you, the life of the saint. We're going to explore saints or saints in the making. I mean, we're all saints in the making, but more or less, the church follows a formation process in acknowledging on a larger scale the sanctity of a mystic that has had a profound impact, not only in heaven, but also on this earth, okay, amongst the body. Something you would need to share, Andrea?
I would like to say the Holy Spirit is given to us through baptism and confirmation, but the purpose of the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son, and God is love. Mm-hmm. But we are given the Holy Spirit to enable us to do the work that God has planned for us and His mm-hmm. mission for us, and like what His will is for us.
Yes.
And to bring about the kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven, that we pray in the Our Father.
Amen. And that's a prayer that the Lord gave to us when His disciples asked, how are you to pray? And He said you had to become like little kids and pray this prayer. Our Father. And matter of fact, before we go further into this, let's pray the Lord's Prayer right now. Okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
I would like to interject one more thing, Shirley.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit, this is all done for the glory of God.
Amen.
And we pray that our lives may be, that this program mm-hmm. and our lives may glorify God.
Amen. Amen. And that everyone would get touched that listens to this. Faith coming from Andrea's living room.
God's
living room. Amen.
Everything that happens, God
is that true. That's right. Yeah, and Lord, you are welcomed in this place.
We thank you for the good and the bad, because mm-hmm. everything is in your plan, your divine will, which is your perfect will,
yeah.
and your permissible will that you allow, because you bring a greater mm-hmm. good out
yeah.
of it.
And also, along with the divine will, the Lord's been giving me teachings and Andrea, when I brought this to Andrea, she said it was a confirmation of Jesus, King of the Nations. He not only asked me to look at, Jesus as being the King of the Nations, reminding me of a prophetic word He had given me a long time ago, and He gave me a song. So I'm going to be writing this song, in response to Jesus, King of the Nations, in dedication to Jesus, King of the Nations. And And it's just really awesome. And we'll be also exploring that message in greater detail. It has a lot to do with unity, right? Unity in the body. And, you know, we, last Sunday, the church universal reading was based on Colossians 3. Basically, what we're talking about, and this goes along with the prophetic word that he had put in my spirit regarding peace. And then also, I'm going to read something from the pastor's corner, which I feel is an extension of Colossians 3. And let me see. It's Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace." And this is this sounds like it's some of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we talked about earlier. "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." And we're going to also talk about the different ways that we can do this. "Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." And wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit. "And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude." Not just, you know, without nothing, but with gratitude, okay, in your hearts to God. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him in all these things." Now, this, you know, in regards to this, just the pastor at, what, St. Teresa's Church that we attended yesterday? Father Shemek. Is he the priest from Poland?
He's our new pastor.
Yeah, he wrote on... and I thought this is really great, a great analogy for today, and also in response to what I just read from Colossians 3. And so, you know, we're going to throw this out there, all right? And I want you to get your Bibles, and I want you to take some notes, and you're going to enter into this dialogue with us, you know? We're going to look at this differently, because I think if it all stays in Scripture, You don't read between the white, and when I say read between the white, reading between the white is like applying it to your life, you know. Asking the Lord, "Lord, what does this mean for me? What does this scripture?" Reading the white, reading between the lines. That's, you know, the lines are black, but the reading between the lines, you know, is the white, you know, is that space, the glory space, right? Anyways, that's how I interpret these things. Yeah. So anyways, Mark Twain used to tell a joke that he put a dog and a cat in a cage together as an experiment to see if they could get along. They did. So he put in a bird, a pig, and a goat. They too got along fine after a few adjustments. Then he put in a Baptist, a Presbyterian, and a Catholic. And hell broke loose. It reminds me of Facebook, right? This is for all your Facebook friends out there, friends and family. Mark Twain did not even bother putting together a Christian, a Muslim, and a Hindu. That was unthinkable in his day. In today's world, however, it has become quite obvious that Christians live in the same cage, in the same city, in the same world with people of other religions. Today, all right, which is the Feast of Epiphany, like I described to you at the beginning of this broadcast, we remember the Magi who came from faraway lands to worship. They were from Asia Major and Asia Minor. the Persian kings. And they came. They were called of God to come worship the baby Jesus. And this is how they came. They were guided by a star, all right, being nature worshippers, and today's equivalent, New Agers, okay, who had no scripture but the telescope. They, you know, the telescope, and they charted the activity of, you know, the stars and where it was, where it was going to be at this glorious event. They used the, you know, the so-called elements and the stars in the sky, you know, to get prophetic words about what life was going to be for them. And that was how they made their decisions, because they didn't have that faith in God. It hadn't been revealed up until this time.
I think, Shirley, there's a difference between astrology and horoscope.
Right, right. We can talk about that in another broadcast. Okay. But I just wanted, as it pertained to the Magi of that day. So let's continue with this. So they came guided by the star, being nature worshippers who had no scriptures, because it hadn't been revealed, it hadn't been written. God had to come and reveal himself. And he revealed himself to them through the only means available to them in their own religion. Through the stars, they were able to learn of the birth of Jesus and find their way to him. They came as pagans. They came from a place of brokenness. They came from a place of, little or no wisdom, the wisdom of the day. They worshipped Jesus and they went back home. They did not convert either to Judaism or Christianity, because it wasn't, if it existed, they weren't aware of it, right? Their worship was acceptable to God, and God directed them in their journey home through a dream. So when they finally came to the Christ child as a response to following the star, which was the only thing that they had, they found that, you know, this is a remarkable event that was foretold and prophesied about, even in their arena. There is only, and so Father Shemek, is it?
Shemek.
He concludes, there is only one God, and all who seek God with a sincere heart are led to him. All right? And here's the clincher. The one thing Christians have in common with members of other religions is that we all worship the same God, even if our perceptions are a little skewed. It's always, you know, off in certain, you know, one area, two areas, but there's always that one conclusion. There's one God. We all are children of the same Father. Although we maybe have arguments about who is the real chosen people as opposed to who is the spiritual Israel as physical Israel and everything, okay? But it says, in the past, Christians claim there is no salvation outside the church. Then Vatican II came along, all right, and the church opened the windows to the Spirit of the living God, which is the Holy Spirit, and came to recognize that God's truth is available to people of other religions, although not to the same degree that it is available in the church. The difference between the Christian faith and other faiths is not that we possess the truth of God and they do not, but that, thanks to God's unique revelation in Christ, we can now see God's truth more clearly through the Holy Spirit, love God more dearly, and follow God's way more closely in our daily lives. That's how it reminds me of a song of the 60s. You know, and it was a song that I was able to, that we, in our sixth grade class, we were singing. And I think we sang it from time to time on Faith Talks Live Prayer when it was a video program. And it's going to be a video program again, but we wanted to give it a shot on the radio. Because I believe more can be captured in the radio, and your imaginations can be more enlivened by the Holy Spirit. But here is how the song goes. Day by day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day, day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray: willy, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, by day by day by day. I started that really, really slow, but you know, in off key. But after a while, you know, you get into it. Yeah. It but you know, that was that's basically our intimate walk with the Lord, and that is such a simple prayer, but yet profound. You know, yet profound. So, you know, so the challenge is: let us reflect on this mystery today as we celebrate the Magi coming from pagan lands to worship the newborn Jesus, while God's chosen people in Jerusalem sleep unaware that the kingdom of God has come. But that is where prayer comes in, like praying constantly the divine will and the Jesus King of the nations. You know, when that reality comes in a greater way, I really believe Jesus is going to return. You know, in our day, hopefully, but we've got to do things first things first. So, the prophetic word from last year was this in a nutshell. That was, you know, the Lord was, there was an angel. I saw it in a dream, blow a shofar, and everybody was scattered. It was sunny, and they went to different parts. There were faceless people, so you knew that it was, you know, a whole group of people that were in the body of Christ. You know, body of Christ means, you know, when you see something, a group of people, and they're not distinct faces, it's a group. It's a group situation, and it's more of a metaphor for, you know, the body in general. And they were being scattered all over the place, and these people that were blowing the shofar were construction workers on the side of the road. And so the Holy Spirit was showing me at the time that his work, he was doing a construction in his people, in the people of God, and that he was in this construction, he was taking out all the distractions of people's lives, and he was putting them back on track, because this was on a highway. They were going straight, and it was into a glorious sunny day, and that was good. But there was going to be a lot of loss, you know, for those who attach themselves to a lot of materials or idols, you know, and things like that, because there was attachment that the Holy Spirit had to deal with. And coming into 2014, he was showing me that those who were faithful to, you know, allowing him to clean up their lives and things like that, without, you know, in surrendering their whole life to them, you know, those areas that were under the rock, kind of, so to speak, that only he can heal. That once, you know, 2014 is going to be all about strengthening the inner man, by the work of grace of his divine will, you know, in our hearts. And so, but, you know, for those who find themselves still struggling in that area, there's still hope for you if it's something you still need to let go. You know, just, you know, talk to someone, especially that we have the Holy Spirit in them. It could be your pastor, it could be your priest. You've got Jesus is working through them, through His Holy Spirit, and just, you know, ask the Lord to give you the courage to look at yourself and in those areas, and then be able to, you know, with trust, you know, also in this one-to-one relationship, that he would give you the trust to turn it over to him, whatever that is. And he already knows before you even ask, you know. And maybe some of us have to do, some of you have to do inventory. Did this happen? Did this happen? Do I still, is there anything, Lord, that's still standing in the way of receiving, this inner peace, to strengthen the inner man? Because God's going to put you in places. Once your inner man is strengthened to be inspiration to those who need that inspiration, to be, you know, to bring Jesus into the world in a greater way. Yeah. Now, what you were about ready to say something, Andrea.
So many things. Well, first of all, the Magi, was your Magi searching, were searching.
Yeah.
And the stars were trying to find out where the city was. Mm-hmm. They were searching.
Yeah, with whatever the means they had.
They were pagans, but mm-hmm. at the same time, what I get from that story is that God drew them. God mm-hmm. calls all men to Him.
That's right.
And to the one true God. And,
yes.
He will reveal Himself mm-hmm. if you desire it.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
He puts it the desire or not.
Ask for that desire that Jesus has.
Yeah, in a greater
and
way.
And He will give it to you, because it's He who causes you even to desire.
Or to even ask.
Or to even ask. So,
yes.
But if He says, ask and you shall receive, seek mm-hmm. and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open.
Exactly.
And there's a picture of Jesus where the knocking on the door, but there's no latch on the outside. You have to open the door from the inside. You mm-hmm. have to let Him in. He knocks.
Mm-hmm.
But because of our free, He has given us free will, He will not force His will upon us. It has to be a free choice.
A free choice. And that is, but there, a free choice, but there are sometimes, like if in a population of people, you know, like in this generation, this day and age, where so much darkness is there, there's so much darkness, there has, you know, it's almost like, It causes the heart of the Lord to release angels, right? You know, to pierce through the darkness so that this breakthrough can happen.
Right.
You know, and I really believe that's what happened with the Magi. Well, we don't believe. We know it happened to the shepherds. You know, that they were keeping watch over their sheep. They were just going about their everyday business in the field, and all the host of angels came. You know, they didn't know that what was about ready to happen. And they announced that the Savior has been born, and, you know, go see where He lays. And because at that time, there was just so much darkness happening, that there had to be a solution, you know, and that's why the angels came to proclaim. And it was nothing that man could do. It was just God's gift to mankind. So we thank God for all those times in our life when we're graced by an angelic visitation, or, you know, we can't get there by ourselves, by our own.
No,
but through prayer, we can bend. You know, I think a lot of the times free will can get mixed up with human pride or ego, and a lot of times human pride can paralyze the bent towards making good choices.
Yes.
Right. In the will of God. We have to come to that place of recognition that it's not our will, but it's God's will. That's why we pray that. Yeah, our Father. Yeah.
Seek the Lord, and you will find Him. This is Seek, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
It's a continuation. The Lord wants to form Christ more fully in our hearts. And but we can't do it in chaos. It's in the chaos. It's that's in our soul due to unrepented sin or you know woundedness. The Lord wants He wants us to trust Him with that. He wants us to trust Him with the heart. Yeah, He wants to heal us. And that's the other. That was the gift of the Holy Spirit, is healing. You know. Physical healing, inner healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. You have
inner
a story.
Inner hurts and memories.
Yeah, you have a story about that when you were in a hospital.
I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown,
mm-hmm.
and I had decided to commit myself. I went to St. Elizabeth's Hospital to get the help that I needed because I realized I needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I was undergoing a lot of stress in my life and a lot of things were going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I entered St. Elizabeth's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I had brought my, I have a lot of religious books. I had brought these religious books and prayer books and mm-hmm. things with me. because I figured I'd be there a while.
Yeah.
You know, so I have time, you know, I would be wanting to read them. And
yeah.
Stuff. And there was a woman there, her name was Ruth. We weren't allowed to go into each other's rooms. But she stood outside my door and she was looking in, and I had these books spread out on the bed. I just happened to have them spread out on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, I said, why don't you come in? And, so she came in, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I said, I'm just looking at all these books. And I said, I have so many of them, I really need to, you know, downsize my books and buy new and put new ones in their place.
Yep.
Because I've read them.
Yep.
I doubt very much if I'll read them again. Why don't you choose what you would like? I'd rather see that than throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So please take all you want.
Yeah.
And so she took about 6 or 7 books. And about half an hour, 45 minutes, she came back and she said, Andrea, she says, I was reading these books and I felt something really heavy lifted from my spirit.
What were the books that she was reading?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Okay.
But it was a prayer book.
Okay.
One of them was a
prayer book. Yeah.
They were, most of them were prayer books.
Okay.
So I had been talking with Steve, my friend Steve, and he was saying to be a deacon, and I had told him about that story because we talked a lot about God and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said that, you know, maybe I had saved her soul. And I said to him, I said, well, that I knew the meaning of that in my weakness.
Yeah.
Is his strength.
So you lived that.
And if I hadn't been there, perhaps, you know.
If your weakness...
If I hadn't had that nervous, been put through that suffering.
Yeah.
She maybe would never have... God never maybe would have reached her or...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would have found somebody else.
Yeah. That was like...
But he did do that.
That was like with me when my appendix ruptured. 6 months before it ruptured... the Lord was showing me this one particular hospital. We were already doing ministry in another hospital, but the bigger hospital, I felt in my spirit, and a gut check, and my husband felt the same way too, that God was calling us to this other hospital to minister to the patients on the second floor. And so we went through the formality to this particular priest who was the chaplain of that particular hospital, Father Rick, and we began to share our heart with him. He said, well, he has all the Eucharistic ministers that he possibly can have. He can't take any extra. And we're thinking, the Lord has told us that we're going to do this, and this priest here is saying, no, we have enough. I'm like, what is wrong? What's going on here? Are we hearing from the Lord? You know, we need to be obedient, so what do we do? Well, we can pray, right? We can pray. And so we did, and we put that in the back of, you know, the back of my mind. But it was more like just going through the door that man has for you is there's so much barrier. But, you know, the vehicle of prayer, you know, is like, take heart, give it to me, and I will make the way where there is no way. And at that point, I'm not sure if I was aware that my appendix was swollen at the time. I think my body was giving me signals, but I wasn't, that was the furthest thing that was on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the summer months were approaching, it was quite apparent after my appendix ruptured that I was transferred to that particular hospital on the second floor. And the Lord had me there on a mission to pray His divine mercy for the patients at their doorways. I was able to go there as a patient, but I saw things. The Lord opened my spiritual eyes. He showed me lots of situations between the staff that needed to be prayed for. There was a huge argument of spirit going through the hospital, you know, in administration. There was a lot of things that were happening, but it wasn't for me to be a Eucharistic minister there, like I thought in my own mind, but it was there, you know, I was there to be an intercede and to unite my sufferings to the sufferings of Christ for their situation. There were people that were, oh yes, there was just a psych ward above us, but it was so crowded that had put some people on the second floor on the weekend. And I'm telling you, I felt like I was at the gates of hell interceding for their souls, their salvation. I mean, there was a lot of screaming and hollering. and I saw the flames. I saw the blue flames in this darkness, and I knew that some of these souls were being tormented, and they were about ready to be released in those flames. So the Lord had me there to pray, you know, for their salvation, and to pray for them, pray for mercy for them. And so I prayed the divine mercy, and I felt like it was lifted. Yeah.
God has made a promise about the divine mercy devotion. He has promised that if you pray that for the dying, that person, that soul will be receive his mercy.
Amen. Amen.
And it's and also for the sick.
Yeah, and the sick, yeah.
Everybody, I'm sure, remembers 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a one witness by one person that they had, a nun had prayed the divine mercy at that hour for those people, and that having done that, that those people were actually martyrs and they were actually in heaven with God because they were, that divine mercy saves the dying from losing their souls. Somebody could put it in a better way, but basically that's the...
Yeah.
And God is faithful. He keeps his promises. If you say yes to God...
Mm-hmm.
He will provide what you need.
Mm-hmm.
He will make. Mm-hmm. He will provide what you need. He will do it through you.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not of God, it won't succeed.
Now, there's parts of the body of Christ that believe that, especially it's done in a critical manner. I mean, that they believe. Well, you know, that they know that Jesus died on the cross once and for all, but they don't understand about the impact of suffering. They believe that when a Christian, you know, when other parts of the body of Christ, like the Catholics, believe that you can unite your suffering to the suffering of Jesus on the cross, that, you know, when you do that, you get to the resurrection glory quicker, but it's not you that's dying, you know, is being crucified. It's Jesus. It's already uniting Jesus to what uniting the suffering to what Jesus already did.
And it's just that suffering's merit.
Yeah.
It's valueless unless they're if Jesus had not died and suffered, no matter what we did, it wouldn't have had any value.
And his life, the legacy and the mercy and the reality of his life, death, and resurrection is going, even though he sits at the right hand of his Father and he sends us the Holy Spirit to bring the church into the truth, in our time, in reality, in man's time, that constant life, death, and resurrection is always happening in our spirit. That reality, once we see Jesus, is activated in our spirit, man, and it's in our soul, actually, and opens our spirit to receive in the fullness of his resurrection based on life, his life, death, and resurrection. Always transforming our being, our inner man,
it is,
from glory to glory. So, but you know, that's a mystery in itself, and that's also more fully realized, not just in the reading of the word, but also the frequent receiving of the sacraments of communion
and
confirmation and confession.
And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because God promised to, if he rose and went to the Father, the ascension, he went after his rose from the dead, which gives our death meaning, because he died that we might live.
Yeah.
He said he would send the Paraclete to remind us of all that he had taught us and to reveal to us.
Yes.
Even the future.
Right, right.
What God has, his plans for us.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is...
Because in Jeremiah 29, you know, he says, I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
Plans for a good future full of hope.
Yeah.
You know? Which brings us to that greater faith. So it's just really awesome for, you know, the things that God has planned for us. But we have to be willing to trust him with those little foxes in our soul that can get in the way and try to reap havoc. I should say wreak havoc. Reap or wreak.
You know, sometimes we're afraid to give our will to God because we're afraid that he's going to want us to change all at one time.
And some people have that luxury, like Paul was knocked off his horse, but that's because there's a greater work that God wanted him to do.
Yes.
And but required his whole entire being.
But God takes us as we are, and he takes one thing, gets to, what he wants to do is he wants to get to the root.
Yes.
Not, it's just like in medicine, instead of the the remedy for it, you want to get the cure to what the cause of it, so you can cure it, not just mask the symptoms.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, Jeff, is there anything you have to say about this, as, you know, about this conversation?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Okay. Jeff is just basking in the presence of the Lord and enjoying this conversation on his level. Where I was wondering if he was sleeping or, you know, out in the glory. But Jeff, I'm putting you on the spot. But you know, I love to do that. You know?
And he's such a good sport about it too.
Well, believe me, when the paper's not running, he does the same thing to me. So
yeah.
But you know, we have fun like this all the time, and you know.
Do that to you?
Well,
I know you do.
Yeah. So anyway, so this brings me to divine will. There's a saint that you've been talking to me about from time to time. What was her name? And tell me about divine will, and what does she, this particular saint, have to do with the divine will?
She hasn't been canonized yet. She's blessed.
She's on her way
to canonize. Well, they're
levels of sanctification.
Divine, yes, they mm-hmm. want to bring her to canonization.
Mm-hmm. And what does she need for this? Yeah.
Well.
Miracles when she's...
Well.
I know.
God knows what she needs.
Like, exactly.
You know, he'll do it.
Right.
But he called her he wanted her to be known as Little Daughter of Divine Will. Her name mm-hmm. was Luisa Picaretta. I can't remember where she was born and what year, but she had an experience of the Lord. She was in her bedroom one time, and she heard this clown on the balcony.
How old was she?
13? 13. She was 13 years old.
Yep.
And she heard this clamoring and noise and all this commotion outside. She ran out to the balcony, and there were these soldiers there pushing and dragging this man, beating him and pushing him and poking him with spears and just really treating him very viciously, and she was horrified at the vision, which she had seen spiritually and physically.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so horrified that she ran back in the room, but then her heart had so much compassion for him. Mm-hmm. And she ran back out to see what was there. Well, he looked, first of all, before she did that, he looked up at her, and she wondered who this person was.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up at her and he said, "Soul, help me."
Mm-hmm.
And it touched her heart. It changed her life, and she was very avid. She was, her whole life was dedicated to suffering and serving the Lord and praying for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's will on earth. It's in the divine will where we will be free from all sin and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And this was her mission, to bring to make known the divine will for people, so that souls could be saved and His will, the prayer of the Our Father could be realized, could be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, in us and by us.
Yes. So what is that book that you were reading from? And
The Hours of the Passion. But she's written 37 books on the kingdom and the kingdom of the divine will, the kingdom of the Blessed Mother, and the kingdom of divine will, and the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's the Hours of the Passion. And the rounds of the divine will.
Now is she the one that had revelations of heaven with frequent visitations to heaven?
Jesus would come down and dictate to her what he wanted written, and
from heaven.
He would come down from heaven. Mm-hmm. So was the Blessed Mother, and he'd make visitations to her.
And what would most of these cheap writings primarily about? What was the glories of heaven?
What living in the divine will meant, how to do it, what it was,
and the impact it would have on society,
and how important it was that, you know, that his will, he could change your soul with just one word, and he wanted those writings done by this person. He had chosen her. She called herself Soul, but now we know her to be Luisa Picaretta.
Okay.
But when she had her writings, she remained nameless.
Mm-hmm.
She just called herself Soul.
Right, because of the humility that she was given at the time of these visitations.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
She also had a mysterious illness that could, she would be, at night she would be going through like a rock-like state, a paralyzed state, where she was like stone. And she couldn't be moved, and she couldn't move. And the only way that she could be released from that state was by the blessing of the priest, and she had a special priest and confessor and counselor. I don't remember. Annabella Di Francia is the priest who went looked over all her writings and kind of, you know.
So she was a suffering soul at times.
She was a victim soul.
A victim soul.
Yes.
Can you talk more about what a victim soul is? So for people that don't understand that particular kind of mystic ministry.
A victim soul takes on the sufferings that Jesus suffered.
But they don't become Jesus themselves. They just participate with his suffering.
Oh, yes, definitely. They participate.
For what purpose?
For the purpose of souls being saved, for what is lacking in the suffering these people don't offer to him.
What happens in that process? Does one make a conscious effort to unite their sufferings to the sufferings of Jesus' passion?
One makes a conscious effort to give their will to God.
Okay.
And say yes to his. And when we do that, when we say yes to his will and want his divine will in our lives, he will exchange our human will for his divine will, and through his humanity he will make our will, our human will, one with his divine will, and we become one will, the divine will. Divine will. Mm-hmm. God had a human will, his humanity, and a divine will, but they were one.
So what, if one is in a suffering state, in that exchange, they would have the wisdom and the clarity to know that their sufferings was for the cause of Christ.
Yes, and the God justice.
Right.
Jesus victim souls, but you can desire to be one. You can say
they
yes,
could be. They're like a gate. They're like a gate for like Moses. When Moses was used in the deliverance of the people from Egypt to Israel. It took him 40 years to get there. But when they made that exodus, his arms were, as his arms were held up by Aaron, the waves, the Red Sea waves, the water of the Red Sea parted, and they were literally getting delivered by, you know, going through this, you know, path that was created by the power of God operating through Moses' hands. Okay? But that was, you know, so that they can get away from the suffering of Egypt and get to the promised land. But with suffering souls, it's like that. You know, victim souls, they are a gate, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. They're a gate for which souls can go cross right over, you know, their salvation in Jesus, where there's barriers. This usually happens at a time where there's a lot of darkness in the world. So there's always that one light that shines.
Victim souls actually experience what Jesus experienced for the salvation of souls that don't...
And graces come off of them.
Sufferings that don't... Victim souls can unite universally all sufferings humanity to the suffering of Christ. I don't know all that much. I'm just getting into it.
Without being totally consumed.
Well, the one little thing I read when I was skimming through the book was that she was born right before Fatima.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So she was starting to go through these victim soul experiences before Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was brewing around that time was a lot of, like, Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
Communism was forming and brewing in Russia.
Societal darknesses,
It was like ready to come.
Mm-hmm.
And then Our Lady makes her own, Jesus makes his leap to bring graces to the earth for that time. And then Jesus sends Mary, right, like 2 years before the main events that happened in Russia. So God's pouring out his grace and mercy in all the means he has at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his disposals was Louisa Picaretta, the little victim soul who got so attached to his suffering that they became one with his suffering. She was pouring out graces for the earth, and then through the three children of Fatima, they were pouring out graces for the earth.
It's not just physical suffering, it's emotional suffering.
Spiritual,
his sadness, it's the deprivation of the of feeling the presence of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the suffering.
It's what they go through in purgatory. But it's on earth.
I know.
Yeah. Because
Because
I,
it's hurt.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
What it's doing is it's really making up with lacking in the body, suffering from the body of Christ. Not that
it's causing a purification.
There's nothing lacking in Jesus, but
right.
We're all the body of Christ, and if we don't offer
yeah.
our sufferings to Him and give up and say yes, the glory that we owe Him is lacking. Not in God,
mm-hmm.
but for the divine will. We owe God that debt to
mm-hmm.
give all that glory to
Him. Yeah. I know. Yeah, I know that when some of the saints in the making that were called to be victim souls in the 20th century were called to bear witness to the sufferings of Christ, which is a ministry in itself, there would always be a question asked of them. So because you said, like you said, they... You know, He respects free will.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do your purgatory now, or do you want to wait? And in any of these visitations, and when they pick, yes, these extraordinary things would happen. There would be always that a weakness that had been inflicted in their soul, but then upon prayer, there would be either an unusual manifestation of the glory of God. As a sign that the prayers are being heard, and then more people would be, it would attract and draw people. Not that the end is to draw, you know, to be highly favored by man, but to draw people to Christ.
Right.
Right. To salvation.
The Blessed Mother,
because of that manifestation.
The Blessed Mother had said,
mm-hmm.
it's the life of suffering and prayer for souls,
mm-hmm.
the desire for the salvation of souls like Jesus, that
mm-hmm.
is the thirst for souls. And just for his suffering for these souls so that
mm-hmm.
they could be saved. But the Blessed Mother had said most souls go to hell, first of all because of the sins of impurity,
yeah.
but also because
nobody's praying for them.
Someone to pray for them.
Right.
So with the victim soul, they can pray universally. They can take
and their body's praying and they're suffering.
And related to this humanity and the energy of Jesus.
Yeah, and their body's praying it also. Because you're praying on every level, you know, because they have that body salvation.
Yes, the
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the...
They're doing what Jesus did, but
exactly.
Jesus is doing it through them.
Yeah, exactly. His presence is drawing them through the suffering, through the cross. There's a presence of Jesus on the cross. There's a presence of Jesus in honoring His birth. There's a presence of Jesus... in the resurrection.
The presence of Jesus in all of creation.
Yeah, all of creation.
But the one part of his
yeah.
manifestation that we don't like, and that most people will say is a curse,
mm-hmm.
if people think that Jesus is manifesting his suffering, like the stigmatists all go through this when God is testing them and proving them to the church at large, and they get...
They get
tormented because they think that they are under a curse, but it's actually the test to find out if it's a pure thing. The church doesn't want to believe in a false thing, so they kind of hesitate and kind of get a strict approach.
Mm-hmm.
But when it proves to be true, like in the case of St. Francis,
mm-hmm.
then you've had, in that particular case, we've had 800 years of graces coming to earth by the intercession of Claire and Francis.
True,
you know.
True love never wants to be separated from the lover.
Mm-hmm.
And suffering, love always entails sacrifice and suffering.
Yes.
Somebody who loves someone is willing to suffer no matter what
mm-hmm.
to help them in whatever way they can and in whatever they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do that with Him.
And we can do that with each other.
Jesus, with victim souls. And we can, that's why He wants us to pray for each other. He wants us to pray for every, pray about all things, praise and thanksgiving and giving thanks and
mm-hmm.
and uniting our sufferings. The little things.
Yes, like
you
it says in Colossians 3.
When done for the love of God.
Yes.
Which the divine will is,
mm-hmm.
it's the love of God,
mm-hmm.
God's love, has tremendous
mm-hmm.
value.
Yes.
You can't comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
In the sight of God.
We don't see its value.
No,
we have such limited
vision.
You just
vision. Have to believe it.
Trust that God
trust
is going to do it.
Keep those promises.
No matter whether it's the minor little things that cause us suffering or actually fully actuating into Jesus' suffering, like Luisa obviously did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a choice. It's a call. It's a choice. And obviously the Lord had those plans for her generation because mm-hmm. there was such wickedness on the rise that hadn't shown up yet.
Talk more about the stigmata, Jeff, for those that are not necessarily Catholic. They don't know what the stigmata is. Maybe they heard about it somewhat, and they still have a question. What is a stigmata? And maybe name an example of a stigmatist that everybody has come to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Being a stigmatist means that you are experiencing the actual sufferings of Christ in your body.
In the form of?
Of the five wounds or all the wounds.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cases of partial where there's only like the thorn mark, one thorn mark, or one
on the head.
Mark, but
yeah.
Then there's others that are all the wounds, all the whipping marks and everything.
Was it Sylvia who experienced the stigmata in her head, thorn in her head?
I think so. The thorn mark was placed on her forehead.
And it's actual bleeding. I mean, they're losing blood all the time.
And it did cause her suffering.
Yes, it does.
It reminded her,
like
she had the whole crown on.
And everything, just like you would be, you know, blood does.
Mm-hmm. And there was nothing physical that they could, or medically, that
no,
I could prove
it. Not even
it.
In that day. No.
And mm-hmm. Padre Pio, they had, when he said Mass, they had to wrap his hands mm-hmm. because he would bleed.
During Mass.
Mm-hmm.
He was also tormented by the enemy, too.
Oh, yeah.
He could also read souls of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
In confession.
And the reading of souls is just another type of discernment that might be given particularly to ministers, but it shows up in our church through the Catholic priests the most because they're the ones who are trying to live their life more like Jesus as our ministers. And in that, some of them have been given the grace of becoming stigmatists
mm-hmm.
and also being able to read souls so that they can guide souls to a greater light and life in Christ.
St. Francis was a stigmatist. Mm-hmm. Was it at the end of his life, Jeff? He died before he died.
Yeah, he was at the church mm-hmm. in front of the icon, what we now know as the San Damiano cross, the icon cross
yeah.
that was in the church, Francis's church that he rebuilt. And he fell into an ecstasy where the light of Christ's wounds came off the cross and struck on him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came to, he found himself with the wounds.
Remarkable.
And, you know, he repented so much mm-hmm. for sins of men and tried so many years that he actually lost his eyesight.
Mm. Wow.
Yes, and I think St. Peter, it changes, you know, tears, weeping for sins is a gift, too.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Gift is called the gift of tears.
Mm-hmm.
He wept so much for his denial, repented so much of his denial, that he actually got furrows in his eyes and
mm-hmm.
his whole face was changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's so much that American Christianity, apart from the church, apart from the Catholic Church, they don't know the history, because if they knew all this, I think there would be more of an appreciation of the role that the Catholic Church can play in the body of Christ with recording these events. And the, you know, and these mystical events and the lives of these saints and blessings
yeah.
that have gone before us.
We can have
an example.
We even had a friend of ours
mm-hmm.
who seemed to exhibit
mm-hmm.
the stigmata in her feet.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Oh, she was actually she wasn't necessarily Catholic, but she was at a Danny Stein. This is for those who know Danny Stein. She was at a Danny Stein event in Middleborough, and what happened was there was such a presence of the Holy Spirit in the series of those meetings that what happened was she was so taken back by the presence of the Lord that she began to manifest the wounds of Christ on her feet. And she couldn't really explain it to people because she didn't want you know, she didn't know what to say, because in that particular part of the body or community, they don't understand the stigmata as much as they should for that manifestation and what that actually meant. But that's why she called me and Jeff, and we were able to tell her, oh, that is definitely from the Lord. You know, this is what's happening. He's anointing your feet. Just, you know, preach the good news. And, you know, there's suffering that she has to go through to bring, you know, to be, you know, with that word, that she, with the life that he wants her to lead and walk in.
With sick and soul, there's a deprivation of Christ's presence to an extent.
Yeah, that's the desert, And then, but in the desert, that's where we get lots of our available teachings. Valuable and available teaching. But if we don't learn anything in those deserts, we're going to keep going back to it all the time. But, you know, the average Christian life, the Christian life should be a combination of desert teaching, you know, life, death, and resurrection. That encompasses the life, death, and resurrection in your life. You know, that applies to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection.
There was a writing about, was it St. Teresa of Avila? Avila, about, you know, going through the desert part of the of the spiritual life.
Yes, that was her.
Yes.
Yeah, she was ascended in a spiral.
Seven mansions. Seven mansions.
Yeah.
Was it her or Jonathan?
No, it was her.
It was her. Her view of the soul was a seven-story diamond.
Mm-hmm.
At the top was the throne room of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had to go through each level.
It was like
each
a spiral state.
And each level had a certain degree of cleaning to be done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by the time you reach the throne room, your whole soul is reasonably clear, and then you get to meet up with the beloved.
It's like a prism.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like the reflection from a diamond.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like a prism.
Well, the throne of throne room.
The way they're cut, they're prismatic.
Around the throne of God is that the rainbow colors, you know, the because it shines like a diamond because of the light.
God is light.
Yes.
The light of Christ.
Infinite light.
The world.
Infinite.
Light.
I love it.
It never goes out.
We won't need any sun. God is the sun. Not that he's the sun in the elements.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I mean to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's the S-O-N.
He's the light that never goes out.
Amen.
The earth and the sun will darken, but
God's light never goes out.
The lamb will be the light of the city of God.
The darkness stays out of the light because it doesn't really want to be revealed to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems what it really is.
It's not the one you want to use.
Yes, I read that other one, but there's another article here from the Pastor's Corner from St. Teresa. This pastor is so remarkable with what he writes. It's talk about the candles, talk about the light that's in us. And just want to leave this with everyone as we come to a close in this segment.
Can I say something?
Okay, Andrea?
They're all remarkable.
They are all remarkable, yes. Because he's inspired by the same Holy Spirit that lives in you, that lives in me, that lives in Andrea, that lives in Jeff. And this is awesome. But Jeff, you want to say something? Okay. Yeah. So, but before we close in this segment, I want to talk about, you know, I want to read this article, so, you know, to give you some food to think about as we delve into this, our next segment, the afterlife, and you are going to hear accounts of people in their sufferings and, you know, and how they thought they were dying and they went through this tunnel and light and were visited by these angelic beings and, you know, telling them either through verbally or spirit-to-spirit communication what their destiny is and, you know, why that time is not. But there's a lot more of this happening. And so we thought it'd be fitting for the beginning of the new year to look at another side of life that everyone is questioning, everyone is asking in this day and age. There's more to life than just the physical part that we live day to day, okay? So let me share this. Once upon a time, a little candle stood in a room filled with other candles, most of them much larger and much more beautiful than she was. Some were ornate, and some were rather simple, like her. Some were white, some were blue, some were pink, and some were green.
She had no idea why she was there, and the other candles made her feel rather small and insignificant. Is that how some of you feel? Sometimes I feel like that. When the sun went down and the room began to get dark, she noticed a large man walking toward her with a ball of fire on a stick. She suddenly realized that the man was going to set her on fire. "No, no," she cried. "Ah, don't burn me, please." But she knew that she could not be heard and prepared for the pain that would surely follow. To her surprise, the room filled with light. She wondered where it came from since the man had extinguished his fire stick. To her delight, she realized that the light came from within herself. Then the man struck another fire stick and one by one lit the other candles in the room. Each one gave out the same light that she did. During the next few hours, she noticed that slowly her wax began to flow. She became more aware that she would soon die. With this realization came a sense of why she had been created. "Perhaps my purpose on earth is to give out light until I die," she mused, and that's exactly what she did. And you know, we not only have to give out light until we die, but we also need to give love as we give out that light. And that's what these people are going to be sharing with you in that documentary.
And was it Father Peyton, the Rose, who said, the Christophers, mm-hmm. it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness?
Yeah. And the Lord lights the candle of our spirit when we let him to the Holy Spirit, you know, because the Holy Spirit's the oil, that's one of his names, is the oil for us. For our spirit, for our soul. This is so awesome. Well, once we realize that there's so much more to this life than meets the eye, you know, that meets the eye. Anybody else want to pray or have a word, you know, have a word that God, you know, has put on your heart to, you know, for the listening audience? Well, how about a prayer? Yes. Father, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for you being the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome, but you overcome the darkness by your life and death and resurrection through your blood that you shed on the cross. And you continue to shed in our souls. It's an eternal event. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are infinite light, Lord, and you want to give us this light from heaven. But many times the darkness of man's soul through their actions and their thought processes, Lord, of the world, the thought processes of the world get in the way and interfere with that. And we thank you, Lord, that in 2013, for the most part, many people were open to the cleaning out process, and the removing of the dross or the dredge of our the sediment that is in our soul is used, you know, as a filter, as the enemy's filter against the light coming in. And we thank you, Lord, that many of us, many of your people have surrendered. They have bowed low for this process to begin in their life, that they're never the same. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your strengthening of your spirit in the inner man, Lord, of your people, that, Lord, that you would fill your people with this peace that you want to give specifically for this day and age that surpasses all human understanding, guiding their hearts and minds, but that as each person surrenders themselves and is filled with this peace, that they would indeed be a candle that would light the hearts of others around them. In your spirit, in your Holy Spirit.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
Did you like that prophetic word from 2014 that the Lord began to unpack in our spirit? And since 2013, you know, the Lord has your best interest at heart. We changed the course of this pre-broadcasted show. I was going to go into everyone's testimony and account of the afterlife, but that's going to be in part two of the prophetic word 2014, because the Lord's really calling. He's calling a lot of us, but he's pulling on the heartstrings of people that are vacillating and sitting on the fence. And there's things that have happened all of last year that convinces me that the idols and that people have held on to that distracted them from what the Lord wanted, whether you be believer or unbeliever, about ready to be a believer in Yeshua, in Jesus, that he somehow allowed things to happen in all of our lives to really drive home the point that he's getting very serious as to, you know, when his coming's going to be. But not only that, he really wants to make himself known to people that are searching and to people that are questioning and even a little bit apprehensive. I mean, he'll go to the great lengths of moving through what many believers perceive in the world as worldly music. I mean, the music that has come out in 2013 and is now just being played in 2014. Especially those songs that I opened up with at the beginning of this broadcast regarding the heart cry of people in their need for love and they're genuine that, you know, when people falter in a relationship, in a human relationship, they don't really want it to go there, but they have no other choice, you know, because they're human, but the other choice is that they have to, you know, they're left, with the heart's cry to cry out beyond themselves to something out there, and hopefully it's God, that could fill that void, okay? So this particular show is dedicated to that segment of the population of the human race that's beginning to understand their need for something greater than themselves. And hopefully it's Jesus. So we're going to go into the prophetic watch night at Calvary Pentecostal Campground in Ashland, Virginia, where Sister Ruth Heflin was that voice calling out in the wilderness in my life years ago. And her family is the one that actually founded the Calvary Pentecostal Campground. She also wrote a series of glory books based on her encounters in a Holy Ghost concerning the glory. There was glory, revival glory, revelation glory, river glory, harvest glory, unifying glory, and I read every single one of those books from front to cover. And it's like drinking fresh water and eating fresh manna from heaven. So without further ado, the legacy that the late Sister Ruth Ward Heflin left behind is still happening. You know, it's still happening at Calvary Pentecostal Campground in Ashland, Virginia. So enjoy the watch night service. And I believe it says part one. I didn't even know there was two parts of the prophetic word that was given on New Year's Eve, 12/31/13, for New Year's 2014. Our desire here at Faith Talks Life Prayer is to see, is to teach you, not just to, show you, but to teach you about, how to respect and receive the prophetic and how to discern the prophetic word going out to the body of Christ, because there's always threads of something within these prophetic words that are interrelated and interwoven into the fabric, into the tapestry of the prophetic word coming forth from heaven, for such a time as this or for any other time epic in man's history, okay? And there's some wonderful words have been spoken by a series of authentic prophetic voices out there. You heard us look into and examine Doug Addison's prophetic word and also Chuck Pierce. And then, of course, yours truly, Dr. Shirley Caniff and husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. So we're just going to continue on in this same vein, and we hope you enjoy the prophetic word. And possibly, if we have enough time, we are also going to look a little bit at prophetic intercession at a fresh word that was given by Dr. James Gall of Encounters Prayer Network, okay, and Prayer Storm. And it's all about being docile and being open and candid and transparent with the Holy Spirit and with each other so that the Lord, you know, as a way of preparation, you know, with a heart of worship, with a genuine, dedicated heart of worship, not because we feel we have to, but because we want to, because we love Jesus, we love Yeshua. And, you know, and he's our bridegroom king, and we're his bride. So, again, I can go on and on and on about this because I'm very excited. But love you and Happy New Year, and enjoy the Watch Night service from Calvary Pentecostal Campground in Ashland, Virginia.
Over you and not my banner is love, saith the Lord. And even this night, saith the Lord, I shall wrap you as it were in a banner of love, fresh and new. And then I shall hurl thee out, saith the Lord, into the brand new, into the things that is before you. The Lord saith unto thee, when thou dost hear the radio, read the newspaper, and listen to the TV. Many things come, saith the Lord, to darken your world. But I say unto thee, I am that I am, and I shall never change. And I have written in my word, and I have declared it unto thee, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. And I say unto thee, church, lift up your voice and give a praise, for your best days are yet ahead of thee. And for America, there shall be a revival, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Jesus. Now we want to invite everyone to get out of your seats tonight. If you've never danced, this is a good night to start. Hallelujah. And if you were wondering if dancing is of the Lord, well, the devil had nothing of his own. Everything he's got, he stole it. Hallelujah. It's given unto him. But in Psalms 137, I think it is, it says, let the saints, or let the saved ones, praise the Lord in the dance. Hallelujah. That includes all of us. Hallelujah. And I want to begin our praise and worship tonight with Pastor Patrick and his wife coming. I love this song, and I believe that you love it too. So I'm so thankful for all that you've done for me, or I'm so grateful for all that you have done for me this past year and all the years before and those things that are about to come forth. Hallelujah. And if you're not thankful at the moment, I believe before this song is finished, you'll be thankful. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Brother Brad is going to lead us in some praise and worship after this song. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Welcome out of your seats. We have cleaner room here. Hallelujah. There's freedom in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father will never ever fail me. Oh, my Father will never ever fail me. Jesus is my Father, he will never ever fail me. I am saying thank you, my Lord. I have a Father, he will never ever fail me. Oh, my Father will never ever fail me. Jesus is my Father, he will never ever fail me. I am saying
of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their lips. Let their high, high praises be happy in their mind.
that I have taken a moment in time, a moment in eternity, and I'm saying I'm pouring myself out, saith the Lord. And whatever you give me tonight, whatever you give me, I will fill it, I will fill it, I will fill it, I will fill it. If it's a cup, I'll fill your cup. If it's a barrel, I'll fill your barrel. If it's your life, I'll fill your life. Because this night I'm in the filling business, said the Lord. I want to fill you to overflowing. I want to fill your life. I want to fill your children. I want to fill your families. I want to fill you up to overflowing. Overflowing, says the Lord. I'm gonna fill you up. I'm gonna fill you up. Whatever dream you have, I'm gonna fill it up. Whatever vision you have, I'm gonna fill it up. Whatever anointing you have, I'm gonna fill it up. Then I'm gonna pour you out, says the Lord.
While you were worshiping, the Lord showed one of our sisters that there are those that have lost hair, and God is going to replace or restore hair that has been lost. Hallelujah. Restoration for hair loss. Hallelujah. Wonderful.
I sense we were praising the Lord, that there were like fog and clouds in front of us. And the Lord says this past year has been that, but I'm removing those fogs from you. He said, I'm removing the shadows from your life, and I'm letting my light shine, that you will see things clearly. You will see with greater discernment. You will not walk stumbling which way to go, but you will hear the voice of the Lord say, go ye, go this way, and trust in me, says God. But I'm removing the fog. I'm removing the uncertainties. I'm removing the doubting and the wavering. Because I want you to come into the fullness of me. I want you to trust me as you've never trusted me before. Because you'll be walking in the light. And you'll walk in confidence in me, says God.
History, death is feet and you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Happy day, happy day. You can walk by
You sure?
the next prophecy is going to be in three languages. It's going to be in English, French, and Spanish.
La prochaine prophétie sera
pay attention, please.
En anglais, en français et en espagnol. Alors prêtez attention. Faites attention.
La siguiente profecía va a ser en español y en francés y en inglés para aquellas personas.
El Señor dice, the Lord say,
el Señor dice,
7 years of prosperity is coming.
7 años de prosperidad vienen.
7 años de prosperidad vienen.
Be prepared.
Soy prêt.
Estén listos.
Give me the best. Your tithe, your offerings and your first fruits.
Donnez le meilleur, vos dîmes et vos offrandes et vos premiers fruits.
Siempre denle a él lo mejor de su tiempo, de su dinero, de sus primeros frutos.
Don't doubt.
Ne doutez pas.
No duden.
The devil is going to try to stop you.
Le diable cherchera vous limiter, à vous stopper.
El diablo va a querer parar eso. Pero no duden.
Something big is coming.
Quelque chose de grand est en train de venir.
Algo grande viene.
Receive with your spirit.
Recevez avec votre esprit.
Recíbalo con su espíritu.
Not with your mind.
Non pas avec votre intelligence, votre entendement.
No con su mente.
Because the devil he gonna try to stop you.
Parce que le diable cherchera à vous stopper.
Porque el diablo va a querer pararlo.
All the prophecies they're giving to you for long years, long time.
Toutes les prophéties que vous avez reçues pendant des années et qui vous ont été données depuis longtemps.
Todas esas profecías, esas palabras que han recibido desde hace años atrás.
That you're gonna be a prophet, you're gonna be a pastor, you're gonna be a pastor, you're gonna be a teacher, you're gonna be a business person.
Que tu seras un pasteur, que tu seras un prophète, que tu seras un homme d'affaires, que tu seras un serviteur de Dieu.
Que va a ser un pastor, que va a ser un profeta, que va a ser una persona de negocios, que va a ser una persona de Dios, un servidor.
It's coming to you. It's starting 2014.
C'est en train de venir vers vous en cette année 2014.
Eso viene, eso va a pasar en el 2014. Amén.
Receive it.
Recevez-le.
Grab it.
Recíbalo.
Make it for yourself.
Appropriez-vous la chose.
Acorácelo.
For your children.
Pour vos enfants.
Por sus hijos.
For your parents.
Pour vos parents.
Por sus padres.
For the older generations.
Et pour les...
para aquellas personas.
El Señor dice, the Lord say,
el Señor dice,
7 years of prosperity is coming.
Es para aquellas personas.